What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to the NBA Outlet. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me today, Corey Waldron, as always.
Nick, it's just a duo today. Just us two. Not having a guest on is a little bit different for the preview series, but ready to talk some Hawks.
Classic NBA Outlet right here. No guests, but that's okay. We're going to deliver. Like Corey said, we want to bang out this preview series before the season starts. So before we get into it, though, quick reminder, obviously, you can find the show on iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. And as always, before we talk next season, we're going to look back at last year. 29-53 for the Hawks, 12th in the Eastern Conference. How would you summarize last year into one emoji?
I have the ooh face emoji. Obviously I'm kind of like known, not known, by fans, but like I'm somewhat known for having the Trae Young will be out of the NBA in 6 years take. Definitely did not come to tuition after his rookie campaign. And the Hawks are just a really young, fun basketball team, especially Trae Young after somewhat of a shooting slump to start the year, really caught his groove after the All-Star break. You had some really nice showings. It was just like an ooh year because the Hawks look like they have a nice young core trying to follow the Golden State Warriors formula.
Yeah, exactly. And I went with something pretty similar with a big smile, like kind of laughing because it was just like a happy year for the Hawks, you know, entering the rebuild. Trae Young really popped off. A lot of the young guys, they were a fun team to watch, playing good basketball. And you felt confident about the team getting better because, like you mentioned, kind of a slow start, but they really picked things up. Post-All-Star break, they were 10-14, substantially better than I think the first half of the year where they were along 19-30 or something like that. So a real progress for the Hawks last year in the first year of their rebuild, essentially with a new coach and a new management. But what was your biggest positive takeaway?
Biggest positive takeaway is Trae Young. I think that's obviously almost goes without saying and maybe a little bit of a cop-out, but Trae Young really showed that despite being maybe a little bit undersized, not having a ton of muscle, and not being maybe the greatest of defenders, that Trae Young is going to be a force and a presence on the offensive end, especially for years to come. A fantastic facilitator, averaged 19-8 last year as a rookie. As I mentioned, you know, really turned it on in the second half of the year. You know, Ice Trae. And also, that's like a sick nickname. I mean, to have the nickname Ice Trae is just, it's pretty sick. You know, he's got bounds of potential.
And you mentioned Ice Trae. He hit some clutch shots for a rookie. You know, last year he had a lot of big shots. I believe a couple game winners in there. And like you said, a little bit of a slow start, but he really popped off. And this is just a building block, you know, a cornerstone for the Hawks franchise moving forward. Another guy who had a really nice year was John Collins. So moving forward with those two, you know, you have your point guard, then you have your big man and Collins, you know, probably more of a power forward, but still two pieces that you feel confident about with being potential all-stars in the future and almost a lock for Trae Young at this point if he continues to grow.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, biggest negative takeaway from last season for the Hawks?
What? Maybe not getting enough trade assets for, like, Dwayne Dedmon.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know, I think they had some veterans on this roster last season in particular. You probably could have moved to get some sort of asset for the future. You know, holding on to guys like Kent Bazemore and Dedmon, and even to a lesser extent, Taurean Prince, and kind of holding out for these guys, could have probably gotten something on the open market when title-contending teams were looking.
Yeah, you think for Dedmon, you probably could have at least gotten maybe a second-round pick. Same thing for Jeremy Lin. They ended up buying out Lin, and, you know, Dedmon, like, he's a solid player, and they weren't really going anywhere. I guess, like, they wanted to have a center on the roster that was, you know, along with Alex Len, but I would have made the move myself, too. Personally, I went with a biggest negative takeaway was the defense. Defense was really bad, bottom of the league. You know, obviously, offensively, they really popped off, but it was a lot of high-scoring games in, like, the hundreds and the 120s.
Yeah, definitely a team that was trying to outscore their opponents rather than stop their opponents.
Now, moving on to the power rankings via our staff, they have the Hawks coming at number 22. Do you think this is fair, too high, too low?
I think it's fair for going into the season, but I could see this being a couple spots higher, actually. I know that, especially on NBA Twitter right now, there's a lot of Hawks Kool-Aid, in which I'm talking about people thinking the Hawks can actually make a playoff appearance as soon as this upcoming season. I'm not so sure I'm ready to buy in on that. But I think if you see some of these young guys pop up, there's some potential. But I think 22 is fair.
Yeah, I think 22 is fair. Like you said, there is potential to jump because it's such a young roster, and you would expect improvements based off of the player development we saw last year. So I think 22 going in is okay, but I could see them in the late teens as we close out in the season. Now, getting to the offseason, draft pick wise, they brought in two lottery picks, DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish, you know, two big time prospects. Thoughts on these two?
Thank God I know these prospects. It's good that we normally, when we do these prospects, I let the guests kind of lead the way. The Hawks got guys, though, that fit what they're trying to do. Cam Reddish is a three-point shooter. Obviously, coming from Duke, he was third fiddle to R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson. Cam Reddish is a guy who is looking to score from deep. He fits in with what they're trying to do with this Atlanta Hawks system. You know, Golden State Warriors 2.0 is what we've kind of labeled them as of last year. And then DeAndre Hunter, watching Hunter play at Virginia, this is a 6'7", 2-3 guy who can play really good defense and has shown some of the ability to shoot. Last year, averaged 15 points per game with Virginia on shooting splits of 52 and 43. So you like the fact that he shot 43% from deep. You know, the Hawks want to have floor spacing and they need to have some defense, and DeAndre Hunter fits that build.
Yeah, you know, the Hunter pick is a really good one. Like you mentioned, a 3-and-D can knock down a three ball. Versatile defender with a nice wingspan. You already have Trae Young, you have Kevin Huerter, you have Collins, plenty of offense. Now you get somebody who can be a nice complementary piece on offense, knocking down three-pointers, but then also bring you some defensive versatility. And you mentioned with Cam Reddish playing behind Zion and RJ Barrett in terms of being the third option. A lot of people think he's better suited for the NBA game than the college game. And who knows, things could really pop off. And this could be the final, you know, big draft that the Hawks need, where, hey, this is all the talent we brought in. Now it's about taking these guys to another level and, you know, ascending them to, you know, all-stars or their highest possible ceiling.
And something else to note on Cam Reddish is, you know, last year he wasn't great shooting-wise. He only shot 35% from the field, 33% from the three, but it came out that he played majority of last season hurt at Duke. You know, not to throw shade at Coach K, but it even brought some wrong that maybe Coach K kind of wears these guys out without really fearing for their futures. But Cam Reddish now being healthy, we actually may see a better version of Cam Reddish that we actually saw in college. And the college Cam Reddish wasn't even all that bad.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously these guys are young, coming to the league, still plenty of time to grow. But getting on to free agency and trades, they brought in Evan Turner, Allen Crabbe, Chandler Parsons, Jabari Parker, Damian Jones. What's your favorite pickup?
Jabari Parker.
Tell me why.
That's my guy. I mean, honestly, I feel like, at least between you and me, I've definitely been on more of the Jabari Parker Kool-Aid. I just think Jabari Parker, all right, first off, it's kind of ironic that he's going to a team that plays no defense, because this is a guy who has stressed enough that he's been brought into places to only play offense. But we didn't see... We didn't see great Jabari Parker last year, but there were stretches where I didn't hate what I saw from him in Washington. I actually think, you know, last year in Washington, he averaged 15 points per game, 7 rebounds, a couple of assists. I actually think offensively, Jabari Parker has sixth man of the year potential. I'm not saying he becomes a sixth man by any means, but I think this is a guy who can come off the bench, can give you offense, is a decent rebounder, is actually an underrated playmaker for his size. It's just, will you get any defense from him? And obviously the Hawks need defense, so maybe Jabari Parker isn't the answer in that category. But I like what Jabari Parker can bring for them offensively, because I think Parker still has potential to be a valuable role player in the NBA. Maybe not a superstar like we kind of thought he was going to be with Milwaukee, but I still think there's something there to get out of Jabari Parker.
I mean, it's a good swing. You know what I mean? There's no lock that Parker's going to be a good player for them, but hey, there's a chance he could pop off. Like you mentioned, offensively, he's shown plenty. Hawks played at a high pace, getting him in transition, letting him be active, use that ability that he has athleticism-wise. Maybe he'll have his best year in Atlanta, but like you said, defensively, he doesn't necessarily help. You look at the other guys they brought in. Allen Crabbe has the potential to be a really nice fit there with his three-point shot. It's about staying healthy for him. If he can go there and knock down some threes, they'll have more than one lethal three-point shooter to pair next to him. Evan Turner, you look at, he's a veteran. Maybe he can be their backup point guard because it doesn't seem like they really have one on the roster. And then Chandler Parsons, at times last year, he looked healthy and pretty good, but it's a real toss-up with his health.
Yeah, I think Parsons could be a better locker. I mean, the good thing about Parsons and Evan Turner, those are, I think, two good locker room guys.
Especially Turner.
Especially Turner. I think even guys in Portland would say that. Boston, this is a guy who definitely helps your locker room, helps your team morale. Definitely a fan favorite even in Portland. So I think getting him is also a plus.
Yeah, and exactly like I said, they don't really have a backup point guard, and that's kind of the role that Evan Turner can play, essentially. You know, he's not actually a point guard, but he can run the show for your second unit. Now, talking to Parchers, we mentioned some of them before, Dwayne Dedman, Kent Bazemore, Taurean Prince, Omari Spellman, Miles Plumlee, Deontay Davis, and Jalen Adams. Who do you wish they could keep?
I think if you miss anyone, because I don't really think you miss much, I think you may miss Dwayne Dedman. Yeah, Dwayne Dedman. Because now you're relying on Alex Len and probably Damian Jones as your two centers going forward. Obviously, Alex Len, who I think on last year's preview, we said this may be like his last chance to kind of earn some NBA minutes after kind of struggling in Phoenix that last year, not playing a ton of minutes. But he was fantastic in Atlanta last year. I mean,
Best year of his career.
11 points per game, 5.5 rebounds. So I think it's, you losing Dwayne Dedman kind of hurts because Dwayne Dedman does everything. Obviously, adding the 3-point shot to his game, a very good, not very good, but a decent rebounder. And just, I also think he's a good locker room guy as well, being a veteran. So I think Dwayne Dedman is probably the guy you miss most.
Yeah, just having that veteran center that can stretch the floor. Shout out to Alex Len, though. He did start shooting threes last year and had a couple games where he knocked down a couple. So, I mean, any expansion on his game, and like we said, that was probably the best year of his career. I think, you definitely need him as that backup center because, like you mentioned, that's kind of a in question who's going to be that backup right now. Are you going to just try to play John Collins a lot there? You're going to rely on the young guys. Kent Bazemore, obviously, he just was looking to kind of get out of Atlanta. He was more so with those winning teams. Taurean Prince, for some reason, wouldn't make sense with this roster, but the new regime in terms of management didn't draft him. It seemed like they had other plans, so he got moved out. I think he's a guy, youth-wise, that kind of fit their timeline, but I agree in terms of roster fit of what they don't have. They would have probably need Dedman right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely going to miss, I think, Prince, obviously now in Brooklyn, so you get to watch Prince up close this upcoming year. When I watched Prince, he was a guy that I constantly, I feel like, mentioned last year on the NBA Outlet as a guy who, like, I like what I see from him. A guy who averages, 13 points per game, is a decent rebounder and can shoot the three, can shoot from the field. Prince was a pretty talented guy. Like you said, timeline-wise and age-wise, this guy fit into what they were doing, but they decided not to move forward with him.
I'll tell you this, Taurean Prince is a really good 3-point shooter, and we'll see that more this year in Brooklyn. But back to the Hawks, talking about the team, what's the biggest X factor for this team?
I think the big, I mean, it's, I think this is a little bit easy, but I think the biggest X factor, actually, no. Okay, so I would say my actual X factor was going to be progression, but I'll say taking care of the basketball.
Ooh.
This was the worst team in the NBA with turnovers. They averaged 17 per game last year as a team. You're not going to win very many basketball games when you're sloppy with the basketball. That goes without saying. You have to be clean. I know Trae Young, obviously, is tasked with doing a lot for this Atlanta Hawks team, so at times he was a little bit, what's the word? I'm sloppy with the basketball. So you got to clean it up. You got to be better taking care of the basketball. You can't be all willy-nilly. You got to take care of the basketball. And that's a problem when you have such a young team, is getting guys to understand that you just need to, every possession matters, right? You have to take better care of the basketball. So I would say progression, of course, and then just taking care of the basketball.
Yeah, especially when you have a young point guard and just a lot of young guards on there, not necessarily having the veteran, especially after Jeremy Lin was bought out. Guys just don't, value the ball and value possessions like they need to because so many games come down to a few possessions that it can make or break your season, especially moving forward when you're trying to make the playoffs. But for me, I just went with, can they be, more competent defensively? You mentioned earlier some fans have the goal of the playoffs. They want to make the playoffs. They need to be substantially better on the defensive end.
Oh, for sure. You got to be two. Those two things go side by side: the turnovers and playing defense. Right? You if you're going to turn over the basketball and not play any defense, it's probably going to be a recipe for disaster.
Exactly, because you're just making life easier for the other team and on both ends of the floor. But what's the starting lineup going to be opening night?
So for me, I think the starting lineup would be Trae Young, Kevin Huerter, DeAndre Hunter, John Collins, Alex Len would be my starting five.
I think that's what they'll roll with. I wouldn't be surprised if they started DeAndre Bembry because obviously being more of a veteran, more experienced with the team and not wanting to start the rookie. But obviously the youth movement is what is important in Atlanta. So I would kind of lean towards Hunter because you want him to get the experience with those guys, especially four out of the five starters potentially being your long-term starters in Young, Huerter, Hunter, and Collins, and maybe Len, but you might have higher aspirations there.
Yeah.
So what would be your player to watch?
Player to watch. I mean, there's so many guys to choose from on this team. and I don't want to pick Trey Young, so I'm gonna say Kevin Huerter, which you probably pick Kevin Huerter.
I did pick Kevin Huerter.
Did you really?
Yeah, especially because Kevin Huerter is dealing with an injury right now, and I always think it's interesting to follow a guy who is not 100% going to the season and potentially could miss early games. He's missing preseason, so it's like, all right, how do you get into a groove here? Now you're already like a step behind everybody.
Right. So luckily, I come prepared that I don't just pick one guy in case he gets duped. So I'll say John Collins.
John Collins missed
the early part of last season with, I want to say, an ankle injury. Played in 61 games, finished with 19.5 points per game, 9.8 rebounds, 56, 34, 76 shooting splits. John Collins, and you kind of alluded to this, with not like a for sure starting center on their roster. I mean, yes, it's Alex Len, but Alex Len can't play 48 minutes. Do we see John Collins at that small ball five? Do we see John Collins at the four? I think where John Collins plays will be interesting to see, and just to see him as a player develop, because this was the first guy they brought in. He was on the roster before Trae Young, and this was the first guy that they kind of were building this new movement around. And now in year three, do we see further development, and what can he become as he added the three-point shot to his game? Obviously only shot 0.6 threes per game his rookie year, 2.6 this past year. So him developing that three-point shot will be intriguing. And also, not the greatest of defenders. Probably been the one like slide or dig against him is his defense hasn't been great. Can he get a little bit better on that side of the ball?
I love the Collins pick there because, like you mentioned, he's shown a lot in the first 2 years offensively, being able to score inside, and you love the effort from a guy like that. He's willing to attack the boards, get you some easy buckets inside. Now it's that third year. Let's see some more defense. We know you have some great athletic ability. You know you're a little bit undersized, but you can kind of make up for it with your speed. So I think Collins is a great pick, and he's a guy that honestly potentially could make an all-star jump this year. I wouldn't completely rule it out. There's a lot of potential there, and it's not like the East is full of dominant bigs, but we mentioned Huerter. I guess we should just talk a little bit about Trae Young and the expectations we have for him going to this year and the growth we expect. Obviously, post-All-Star break, we talked about he was really good. Early in the season, not so much. Do you expect to see somewhere in between or something closer to what we saw post-All-Star break?
I'm going to say post-All-Star break, Trae Young. So I just think earlier on in the year, you know, not having John Collins may have even played a factor in that. Kevin Huerter wasn't Kevin Huerter early on in the year either. Now going into year two, you expect John Collins to be what John Collins was to finish the year. You expect Huerter to be as he was kind of bursting onto the scene. You have some added talent in DeAndre Hunter. And Trae Young, you know, we've been kind of on this, like, obviously take the gym run videos with a grain of salt, but Trae Young was in a lot of videos this summer, maybe more so than a lot of the vets, but I saw a ton of sophomore Trae Young highlights. Granted, a lot of them were him going at Dennis Smith Jr., which may be not the greatest competition for a guy like Trae Young, but I really liked what I saw. I think that last year wasn't a fluke, the second half. I think it was pretty much just him gaining confidence and realizing that he does belong in this league for sure. So I expect Trae Young to hit the ground running with his Atlanta Hawks team, because also, you know, that first year, you're also kind of learning your system. You're learning how you want Lloyd Pierce. You had to learn Lloyd Pierce's system, figure out how he wanted to run. So, yeah, I think Trae Young is bound to have a much better sophomore year.
And not only learning the system, but just adjusting to NBA defenses and understanding what you can get. And his ability to shoot beyond the three-point line is huge. And I think one aspect of Trae Young's game that maybe doesn't get talked about enough because it's always about the scoring, the NBA and the three-point shot, but he's a really good passer, especially for an undersized guard, where at times for undersized guards, it's tough to see over defenders, but it seems like he has no issue with his vision being, you know, around 6 feet.
He already had that flashy nutmeg pass on J.J. Redick this preseason. More of that.
Yeah, he really embarrassed him on that. But it should be a really good year for Young. And also, you can make an argument the Hawks roster is better, just alone with the pieces they had from last year, taking another step forward. And that should just make your life easier and your chemistry will be improved.
Definitely.
Now, worst case scenario for the Hawks.
I think worst case scenario would be they finish right around the same record as last year, which would be, you know, 29-53 wins, somewhere in the bottom part of the Eastern Conference. You see some flashes, but maybe, you know, Huerter doesn't take a jump. Maybe Collins kind of plateaus. Maybe this team just doesn't get better defensively, right? That'd probably be like the biggest worst case scenario. Just this team remains stagnant, and you're kind of questioning the pieces around Trae Young. I think Trae Young is probably the only piece, for sure, with John Collins being right up there, that I'm really confident about going forward.
Yeah, I think, you know, Young and Collins are the two locks. Herter showed a lot of good things, but now it's kind of taking that next step and maintaining health. But I agree. I think a worst case would be almost a repeat, and these guys don't progress. And also, the efficiency still is a problem for a lot of the young players on the team, including Trae Young. But best case scenario.
I think best case scenario is an 8 seed, right? I think that's playoffs. Yeah. That's somehow the Atlanta, not somehow, the Atlanta Hawks just hit the ground running. They play a little bit more defense. The offense is clicking. You see DeAndre Hunter maybe not winning Rookie of the Year, but in the Rookie of the Year conversation, because I think now it's kind of safe to say that Zion probably wins that shit. but overall, I think you see these guys just taking that step forward. You know, Herter, as you mentioned, really bursts onto the scene. Collins finds a nice groove at playing maybe the 4 or the 5. And maybe, who knows, maybe you get some key contributions from a guy like Chandler Parsons. Jabari Parker shows up off the bench. Vince Carter has that one last tour ending in a playoff run. I think that's best case scenario.
Yeah, best case would be an 8 seed. And just, you know, maybe Trae Young becoming an all-star, getting pretty close, and Collins getting close to that as well. And just all these young pieces moving forward. And I also think another factor, which you kind of hinted at, is the bench being good. You know, the bench is a big question mark. We didn't really touch on that, but a lot of young guys or a lot of veterans where you're not really sure what you're getting at this point in their career, especially at the center position. What's your actual prediction, and where do you expect them to finish in division?
So, it's funny. I haven't finished last in the division, unfortunately. But I do – oh, wait, no. This is the Hornets division. I lied. Hornets are finishing last. I apologize, Hawk fans. Sorry, you're not worse than the Hornets. They're finishing fourth. I have them winning slightly more games. I have them winning 33 games. You know, I don't have them making the playoffs. I think they get slightly better. But again, you know, I don't think there's enough defense yet on this team. And I'm still not confident on the bench unit being able to sustain long portions of success. So I think 33 wins seems about right for me.
Yeah, I have them at 35 or 34 wins. I have third in the division ahead of Washington and Charlotte.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't think Washington's going to be very good at all. So that's for another day. I also think Bradley Beal is going to get traded, but we'll save that.
Okay, well, there you go. That's the big question.
And I mean, okay, yeah, I could get into Washington right now, but I got to save that for that bag. yeah, I think we'll see improvements. And they remind me of the Nets a little bit before they got to the playoffs, taking steps each year, having the system in place, playing the right brand of basketball. Now it's about all these young players growing and understanding how to win.
Yeah, no, for sure. Now, question on one part of this. Now, do you think that we see, by any chance, Jabari Parker start next year?
No, I think Jabari Parker's fit in Atlanta is best as a 4, and Collins has that pretty much locked up. I don't think you can really start Collins at center unless there's some type of injury, because you don't really want him to bang and get fatigued. So I think Parker's best position is backing up Collins, and you probably could even see some minutes with Collins if Collins plays some more minutes at the center position. But I don't think Jabari could start. If I saw any of the starting lineup change, it would probably be small forward and just DeAndre Hunter probably not starting. I could even see a scenario where, like we mentioned, Bembré starting, but
what about Crabbe?
I wouldn't rule it out. Like Crabbe has a relatively high ceiling in a sense, for like he can be a very good player. There were stints in Brooklyn where he played for weeks where it's like, oh wow, this guy could be an above average starter and, you know, average 15 or 16 a game and knock down 40% from three, but can't really stay healthy and his confidence kind of fluctuates.
Yeah, I could see that. No, I know that he's a turbulent player, but definitely when the 3-point shot's on, it's on. It's also funny just looking at like their salary. You know, Parsons making 25 mil, and then Turner and Crabbe both making 18.5, and then DeAndre Hunter is the fourth highest paid at 7 million. Like, it just seems weird.
Yeah, those rookie contracts come in hot. But I also could see the Hawks possibly making moves, not anything crazy, but they do have some expiring. I think they're one team who's looking to maintain their cap space going into the season. There's been rumblings about them going after Jaylen Brown potentially, or even Brandon Ingram.
Has it been confirmed? Is this Vince Carter's last year?
I would assume so. I think he said it is his last year, but you never know. Honestly thought last year was his last year. No disrespect.
Yeah, no, it quite easily could have been. I mean, even still, you know, even last year playing as a 42-year-old, playing in 76 games too, averaged, 41 to 38, like shooting 38% from three. That's not too bad, averaging four attempts a game. Do you think Vince Carter ends his career as the Hawk? Do you think they trade him to a contender next year, or is this just where he stays?
I think if he requested that to get traded or bought out, they would do it just because they understand, like, hey, he's had a long career. But I think he's happy in Atlanta just being that veteran. He had the option this summer probably to go to a contender.
That's true.
And he elected to stay with Atlanta. But, people change their mind. All right, but where do you rank the Hawks in League Pass or rate them in League Pass?
I gave them a 6.5.
Damn,
that's low? Shit.
Yeah, I have the Hawks. I gave him a 9.
Oh, wow. You saw the Hawks live, so maybe you saw something that I have not. I think it's a fun team, but I don't know. I think there's some intriguement, obviously, with Trae Young and John Collins. And I mentioned Jabari, who I obviously stayed for a little bit. And there's a lot of young guys, so there's definitely intriguement with this team. I think they play an exciting brand of basketball, being so fast-paced, trying to get out in transition, shooting a lot of threes. But until I see defense, until I see the turnovers cleaned up a little bit, there's just more teams to me that I have more interest in. Because, again, this isn't a team that I see actually competing for an 8 seed. So I think this is a team that the most nights I catch them are if they're on national TV or if they're playing against my Indiana Pacers.
I think one thing that intrigues me about the Hawks isn't maybe as much about them. It's like, they're going to be high scoring. We know Trae Young's going to have his flashy plays. John Collins going to have his dunks. They play a fun system, but it's